And what a beautiful audience inside. I wish each of you had the privilege of standing and looking at this audience from the standpoint that I have this morning. When you consider that there were 414 here at the 8 o'clock service this morning, the main auditorium was comfortably filled at that time, this is certainly a great day. I don't know that there is a spot on God's earth that you could find that's been just like it's been in Henderson for the last two or three days and today. I'm thankful that we can enjoy ourselves in a setting of good, clean, fun, and entertainment like we've had for the last two days. And I'm also thankful that we can be serious about serious things in devotions and chapel and in worship services like this morning. I was just noticing this morning how beautiful the dresses were of our young ladies, so many of them as they came in. And I'm persuaded, knowing many of these personally, that the beauty is not just on the outside. We have some of the finest young people here in junior high and high school and college, university level that can be found anywhere. I just wish that I could shake the hand of each one of you today, but that just take too long. But let me just tell those of you that are visiting, on behalf of our elders and the congregation here at Henderson, we're always glad to have you here in our midst, and we're especially glad to have the young people that are here. And those of you that are visiting today of high school age who may be considering coming to Freed Hardeman, where in the world could you go and have an opportunity to go to a school like that and a congregation like this and hear a preach? there's just no place like it. And we are so thankful that you are here this morning. 1 Samuel 1:28 will be the text for our lesson this morning. Of course, the lesson is first dedicated to God in our worship to Him, but I'd like to also, in a sense, dedicate this lesson this morning to the parents of our young men and young women that are students at Freed Hardeman, and perhaps to all parents, in a sense. In 1 Samuel 1:28, where Hannah and Samuel are being discussed, there is an unusual statement. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. This morning we're talking about the idea of a child lent to the Lord. We want to do three things. Number one, analyze the mother, Hannah, who's been talked about in this passage. Number two, try to come to a better understanding of Samuel, the son, who's being discussed. And number three, make some applications to where you and I are today in 1990 in Henderson, Tennessee, and the surrounding areas to which some of you will return after today. If we were going to make a list of the outstanding women that are talked about in the Bible, I'm persuaded that Hannah would not be far down that list. Mary, the mother of Jesus, would perhaps head it. If I were making it, I would have Jochebed and Eunice near the top. But I would not be far down. I would not get out of the top 10, I think, until I would mention Hannah, one of the finest godly women that ever lived. Notice just a few things that are said in the scripture about this woman, beginning at chapter 1, verse 11. Before Samuel was ever conceived, before he was born, before he lived, Hannah had the right idea toward a son. It says, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor upon his head. Can Can you imagine what would happen in America today if we had more women who, instead of trying to get rid of that which is developing within the womb, were planning and praying to God even before conception takes place about the welfare of that which will, with God's help, be conceived? My mother told me several times in life that while she was carrying me in the womb, she prayed that I would become a gospel preacher. I don't believe that that's the main reason that I'm preaching today, but I cannot deny that it had its effect, because that attitude which caused that prayer caused other things to come later in life that had an immediate effect and a lasting effect. Hannah said even before she could bear a child and even before she could conceive, God, let me conceive and let me bear a child, and she specifically prayed that it might be a son. And she said, I'll dedicate that son to you as long as he lives. I'll give him back to you. Not in some kind of a religious ceremony, but in the sense of giving him back in service to the Lord. We see a woman who was thinking about the right things even before she conceived. Then look at verse 20 as she named this young man. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. She was not as interested in naming this son after some famous athlete or after some actor or actresses, if such they had at that time. And there is nothing necessarily wrong with a name that may be the same one that is worn by someone like that. But notice what she did. She selected a name that had something to do with God. She realized that this man, this one who would become a man, would have that name and would wear that name the rest of his life. And that every time that somebody addressed him, they would be using a name that would mean, because I have asked him of the Lord. Here was a mother who was thinking about the future of her son even at the time that she named him. Now look at the first verse of chapter 2. This is in a setting where much is said about what was happening to Samuel and in the family. And it says that Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There's not one word, folks, in that about any kind of career or any type of education, as important as both of those are and may be at any time in the life of the development of a young man. What was causing this mother to rejoice had to do with spiritual matters. She was rejoicing that she had a son who was going to serve the Lord. She was happy. And I just imagine that she would tell her friends how thankful she was, and maybe how proud she was, and rightly so, to have a son who was involved in the work of the Lord. Look where her rejoicing was. What really meant something to her as a mother, because she was a mother who had determined to give this son to the Lord, who had named him a name that emphasized that, and who now rejoices to see her son in that kind of situation. Then at the 11th verse, notice that she took this son where he could be associated with a man of God. It says that Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Eli was certainly less than a perfect man, a man who made some mistakes, but he was a man of God who served in a specific capacity in God's work. And here is a mother, Hannah, who wanted her young son to be associated with this man of God. When I read that, my mind goes back a generation or so to where most gospel preachers who were involved in gospel meetings stayed in the homes of the members, to where they visited in the homes, and where preachers and elders and other fine Christian men and women visited in the homes, to where, as a child was growing up, he had an opportunity to know these men and women, to know who they were, to know what they were being, what they were doing, to have the influence of them in his life. Sometimes I fear there's a tendency for us to get away from that today, where we are so busy taking care of other things that we forget the importance of our children being associated with godly men and women, even from being a little child on up. But Hannah did not forget that. And she made arrangements where her son could be associated with a man of God. And then there is the indication in verse 19 that she did not forget his other needs also. Though she may not have seen him very often after she took him to be with Eli, the indication is maybe just once a year. The Bible says that she was always thinking about him to the extent that she made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Here's a mother who never forgot the needs of her son. Even when he was away from her, she was thinking about his needs. First of all, his spiritual needs, and then his other needs in life, and she was interested in seeing that those needs were met. The Bible doesn't reveal to us much about Hannah as far as her physical needs and her physical situation in life's concerned. It just tells us about what kind of mother she was. And I'll tell you, a young man has got a chance in life when he has a mother like that, or a father like that, and evidently the father was a good man too, though the mother is emphasized. When a child comes into this world having been planned even before conception, or at least being wanted even before birth, to where the mother and the father are thinking about the spiritual welfare of that son or daughter and making plans for him to be associated with the right kind of people and seeing that his needs are met in that set of circumstances, that child has a chance of coming to amount to something in life. And that's exactly what happened to Samuel. Notice just a few of the verses that indicate to us a little bit about this young man. Go back to 2:11. It says, the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. In verse 18 of that chapter, Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Not anything said there about any prayers concerning the kingdom of God tomorrow, or the church of tomorrow, or God's people of tomorrow. Here's a young man as a child who was serving his Lord as a child. He began to serve God even as a child. Hannah and Eli realized that it was not to wait until this generation is passed and then put this young man to work, but put him to work in the Lord's kingdom just as soon as he's able. Put him to work in being associated with God's program and God's work just as early as it is possible. The Bible teaches us that he ministered unto the Lord in that sense. And then over in the 26th verse of chapter 2, and as I read this, keep in mind Luke 2:52 that says, Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. It says, the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Just about the same thing said about Samuel that was said about Christ. Every indication is that he grew physically and he grew mentally and developed to those two sides of life. And then it is specifically said that he grew in favor with the Lord and he grew in favor with men. He developed his appreciation for people. He developed his appreciation for serving people, and through serving them, serving the Lord. Samuel grew on and grew in favor with God and with the people. And then it is said over at the 20th verse of chapter 3 that all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. He became so well known in Israel that it says they knew him from Dan to Beersheba, from the north to the south, throughout the land, that he was a prophet of the Lord. And in the 7th chapter in verse 15, it says that he judged Israel all the days of his life. Now here's that little boy that his mother had prayed for, the little boy that she had lent to the Lord, the little boy that began serving God in his youth, very much in his youth. And now we see him as a prophet throughout all Israel and a judge of all Israel, to the extent that in speeches like recorded in the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 5, he says, I've walked before you from my childhood unto this day. And a little bit later, you haven't found that I have aught in my hand from you. In other words, I've been honest with you. I've dealt with you. I haven't taken from you unfairly. A successful life that was lived by Samuel because He had a mother who loved him and cared for him even before he was conceived. And a mother that would lend that child to the Lord. Now, where does that fit in with our lives today? Number one, we lend our children to the Lord when we rear them in such a way that they can never remember the time that they did not go to Bible study and worship. Hannah, we're living today, I'm just as convinced as the fact that I'm standing before you this morning that she would have had that young man Samuel in a nursery class in Bible study and in worship services just as soon as she is able to get him out. That she would have let him be studying God's Word and beginning to listen to it, maybe even before he could understand very much, to where later in life he could never remember not having been in a Bible class and worship service. That's one of the best ways for us as parents to lend our children to the Lord. To where that child has the benefit, like Samuel did, of sitting in those classes of some of the greatest godly women that'll ever live, who usually teach our classes from about the sixth grade down. And then sit at the feet of some of the outstanding godly men, elders and deacons and Bible study teachers, who have an interest in young people and an interest in God's Word. We can lend our children to the Lord by letting it be such that when they grow older, they can never remember a time but that they were in Bible class and worship. Number two, we can lend our children to the Lord by giving them an opportunity to be involved in Christian education. I don't apologize to anybody for supporting and backing Christian education that's based on God's Word. I'm behind Christian colleges and universities with all my might. They're not the church. They're not a part of the church. But those institutions today that are there involving good, godly men and women who are teaching everything in the setting of a belief in God are to be appreciated. And you and I as parents can lend our children to the Lord somewhat like Hannah did when we take them or send them to a setting such as Freed Hardeman University. Never shall I forget the day that our oldest daughter, who's in the audience this morning, left from the patio behind our house in Tullahoma to come to Freed Hardeman College. I'll never forget that day. When the others left, it wasn't like that first one. And I think I understand Hannah just a little bit more after that time when one leaves to go to a setting like that. But let me tell you something. Though all the students here or in any Christian college are not perfect and there are going to be mistakes made, they are far above average. And though all the teachers that stand in the classrooms across the street make mistakes and are human just like you and I are, they are godly men and women who approach things from God's standpoint. And you and I have an opportunity today not to send our sons into the house of God to sit at the feet of Eli, but we have an opportunity to involve them in Christian education. And in that sense, I suggest to you that a child can be lent to the Lord if the right attitude on the part of the parents and the children are present and they enter into a situation like that. Number three, I believe that we can lend our children to the Lord when we allow and encourage them to be involved in spiritual activities at every opportunity they have. 2 or 3 weeks ago during spring break, I had an opportunity to preach down near Amory, Mississippi in one of the campaigns. Some 7 or 8 of our college students, or I'll learn university one of these days, our students were down there working. Some of them worked the entire week, some of them doing the things that made me look good when I was preaching. And when there were responses. Some of you parents had to sacrifice in that those students didn't come home that week. You lent them to the Lord when you would have liked to have had them there at home, just like Hannah lent Samuel to the Lord when she probably selfishly would have liked to have had that little boy at home. But let me tell you something, how much greater it is for young students like that to be involved in campaigns throughout this country instead of being going to a beach somewhere or even coming home and idling their time away. And this summer when some of the students and some of our younger ones and adults and others leave and go to Nigeria and into other countries and other continents to be involved in campaigns, I suggest to you parents we're lending our sons and daughters to the Lord. And those who have an opportunity to be involved with godly people like that and out there teaching the gospel to those who don't know it will never be the same again. They may not be a prophet in Israel. They may not be a judge in Israel. But let me tell you something, they'll be worth something in the Lord's church because we lent our children to the Lord. And then in addition to that, I suggest to you that we can lend our children to the Lord when we have parents to be, especially mothers, who have as a priority in life possibly giving birth to one who will become a gospel preacher or an elder or a deacon or a young girl who will be brought up to realize that the greatest thing a woman can do on this earth is be a Christian wife and mother. And who will be ready to stand beside that gospel preacher or that elder or that deacon or stand in a Bible class and in those areas where God has instructed women to work. When we have parents today who are interested in conceiving and bearing children with that in mind and with the idea of encouraging them, there's never been a time in our lifetime when we've had a shortage of gospel preachers like right now. We need to do what we can from the pulpit to encourage. We need to do what we can in our Christian colleges and universities to encourage. But where we're going to solve this problem, if it's solved, is back with the mothers and the fathers who are willing to lend their children to the Lord and who can get their priorities straight and realize that though there is a lot of good in children being successful in other ways and ought to be appreciated, that there is also so much good in having a son grow up to be a sound, successful gospel preacher, a good, godly elder, a fine, serving deacon, a young woman who grows up from your household to be a great servant of the Lord in the ways that she can. I suggest to you that herein is where we're going to be able to lend our children to the Lord. Hannah lent Samuel to the Lord. And he became a prophet and a judge in all of Israel. You and I can lend our children to the Lord by seeing that they are trained in the home, in Bible classes, involving them in Christian education when we can, giving them up in times when we'd like to have them to see them involved in the Lord's work, and just in general having an attitude of wanting to be thankful and proud. When we can bring into this world those who will grow up to do the Lord's work, we're lending our children to the Lord. It just all boils down to being Christians and living for God. That's the bottom line of it all. And with all the fun and the enjoyment and the good times that we can have, and we can have them as Christians, I think we've proven that. With all those things that are involved, folks, what really matters above it all is to be right with God, to have children that are born into this world, that are lent to the Lord, to have parents that want to lend them to the Lord, and to have parents and children that look forward to that great home eternal in heaven with God. And if you're not a Christian, you don't have that promise. Or if you're a wayward child of God, you don't have it. The best way, parents, to lend your children to the Lord is to first loan yourself to the Lord. Or maybe better said, give yourself to the Lord in obedience. Maybe you need to do that right now as together we stand and sing.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding.